Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this 5th of August. Very nice to have you with us, and we welcome you as we always do. Here's the way that you can join in on our discussion, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org, and we would love to hear from you because we love your letters. All right, now let us, chuckle, here we go. Let's introduce the panel. Dr. Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, sir.
I'm here.
Excellent. And author and activist Barbara Smith is with us. Good morning, Barbara.
I'm also here.
A delight. Thank you. And we welcome the head of the journalism department at the University at Albany, Rosemary Armeo. Good morning.
Good morning. Likewise here.
Likewise, I'm sure.
Good morning. And again, we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Let us get into what is going on in the world, and we begin with, we can start with a lot of places. Let's talk with the, we touched on this yesterday, but I do want to go to the Iran payment and the president on this subject yesterday, saying we do not pay ransom. The president on Thursday dismissed suggestions that a $400 million payment to Iran amounted to a ransom paid in return for the release of American hostages. Confirming the U.S. offered the payment in cash, Obama nevertheless downplayed the delivery's significance, saying it was not nefarious and not a nefarious deal. And he pushed back on Republican attacks, charging that the White House completed the transaction as part of a prisoner swap. The line of argument was intensified by GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump just moments before the president's comments, though he also complicated his message by referring to have seen a video of the transfer whose existence others have doubted. Obama on Thursday sharply defended the decision to send pallets of cash to Iran.
Yeah, I was all ready to believe this because it was reported in the Wall Street Journal, which is pretty credible. But Obama, who continues to prove himself a masterful campaigner, just calmly explained that, look, when you have sanctions against a country, as we do against Iran, you do not have a banking relationship. You cannot transfer funds. You cannot write a check. And if you owe them money, as everyone agreed they did, up to and including, you know, regulatory agencies who thought we owed much more to Iran, then you must send cash. And Trump, of course, also helped by being as inept as Obama is skilled, and claims that he saw a video of this money being delivered and people ripping the cash out of the plane. It wasn't true. And he admitted it on Twitter today that he had it wrong. It was a different plane delivering cash to a whole different country.
He walked it back.
He walked it back.
Yeah. Which is rare for him.
Yeah, it is.
Because although he was still saying it, even though his campaign was denying it at the same time, which was interesting. That was
right.
That was yesterday's.
Right.
Alan, what do you make of this?
Well, it was clear that a deal had to be reached, and it was clear that we had a lot of their money. Part of the deal was you give them back the money that we had put
frozen.
Into
frozen. We had frozen it after the hostage situation, right?
For a long time. Now, the essence of propaganda, as we all know, Rosemary and Barbara and Joe, we all know that what you do is you take a fallacious claim and you just continue to say it over and over and over again, and pretty soon people begin to believe it. You know, how could they be saying it if it weren't true? So you say it over and over and over again, and the height of propaganda is repetition, and we know it, and they're doing it now.
One of the things that I kept on hearing last night on most of the news channels, CNN, MSNBC, and even Fox, was that this was very similar to the presidential Iran-Contra and very similar to Ronald Reagan and the arms for hostages. The point that the Democrats kept on making was that, look, this wasn't illegal. That the thing is that what you're making a comparison to was illegal. What
patently,
we're doing is
illegal.
Is legal. So there really is there were no arms
There's
involved.
There's no comparison.
Yes, there is no comparison.
It was payment of a debt owed. Iran was insistent on a payment of that debt as a condition for the Iran nuclear agreement, but it was a debt we did owe them. So it also was announced, Obama repeated yesterday, back in January. So why it came out now, why the Wall Street Journal made this a new big story, I don't get that either. I have not read anything that explains it to me.
Well, the timing of all this is really interesting. I did see that it was announced in January, although I will admit I missed it.
I don't remember it, actually, but that's the way it should have been. It should have been just a routine part of the negotiation.
My understanding was that it was said that the money had been returned, but the
pallets in the airplane is
well. No, apparently the lines that came together were that the money came in the same day as the hostage.
Right, and that's the other thing.
That was the parallel that was brought that made it a news story.
Right, and when I said timing, I was thinking of, you know, well, timing in relationship to the election, timing in relationship to prisoners going back, et cetera, et cetera. So.
One of the things that's interesting about this is that many people thought that over the last several days, Donald Trump has missed many opportunities to go after Hillary Clinton, and that he has been going on other wild goose chases as opposed to going after the candidate. And some were a little bit pleased that they saw him go in staying with this issue instead of getting personal. And then, unfortunately for them, he went with the video,
it was
the wrong one.
It's like the Muslims in New Jersey on 9/11. That kind of a video. Yeah,
I saw the video, and you
and it was a nice plane. I don't his fascination with the minutia and the other, you know, out of the line of vision. It looked like a nice plane.
Today he tweeted, the plane I saw on television was the hostage plane in Geneva, Switzerland, not the plane carrying $400 million in cash going to Iran. That was his correction.
All right. Again, that's rare.
And then the very next one he tweets is, Hillary Clinton has bad judgment and is unfit to serve as president.
Okay, so here's what it looks like to me. Hillary Clinton now is playing exactly right. My mother used to say to me, Alan, hold your tea and mind your beak. Hold your tongue and mind your business. I think that's her philosophy. He just keeps digging himself deeper and deeper and deeper. She talks, you know, the way a presidential candidate should talk. And he keeps getting in over his head. So I think forget about the substance of the claims. Just look at the approach that both of them are taking, and you'll see why she's gaining more and more ground.
I think when you look at the poll numbers in the swing states, what was it, New Hampshire, and was it Ohio and New Hampshire, the two big ones?
Those are the ones where there are giant gaps that have opened up.
And she's ahead in Florida.
But
it's not that much.
But like 15 points. But what the money that they had reserved, they've just decided to put on hold to put in the ad buys because
they don't need it.
They're not wondering if they need it. They're just going to kind of hold on to the cash and see if it comes around because as of right now,
who support Hillary, however, know that she has an almost unlimited capacity to do herself in. I think she made a really bad misstep with Fox News interview last Sunday.
Yep.
And so this is a whole lot more of Donald taking terrible missteps than Hillary playing it right.
Well, no, I don't agree with you. I mean, I think that Hillary is learning, obviously. She learned from that. She trusted them. She thought if she went on there that she would get creds for having gone over with the enemy broadcasting company. It didn't work. And now I don't think she'll be a lot more careful about that.
In a rare move, Alan, you're being kinder to Hillary than I am. Chris Wallace did not ask her anything that was out of line. There was no gotcha in there. She mishandled it. She did a terrible job. And so I worry about her going forward. I worry about Julian Assange, who has threatened that he has more emails that could be embarrassing. I worry about the FBI working with Congress to come out with something. I can't imagine what it's getting like Benghazi, one investigation after another, leading nowhere. But more stuff on her email server. She is a damaged candidate, and the only thing saving her, the only reason she's not great double digits ahead, is because of Donald Trump possibly being mentally ill.
She is actually pretty far ahead for this time, Rosemary, and I think she's playing it right. So we'll just disagree. So far, it does look like he's beginning to lose more and more ground with, I think, the sort of educated middle class who are angry and who are now turning around and saying, you know, this guy's just too embarrassing for me. So,
Paul Ryan's comments the past couple of days have been extraordinary. I'll stop there. He at one point arguing for support for Republicans in the down ticket races, right, said, "We don't want to give President Clinton a blank check."
Yes.
Amazing.
He said that.
Amazing.
Yes, he did.
Oh my goodness.
He did. And in the same speech, saying that he stood by his endorsement.
I've told you why I think that is. But.
Yes. So the other thing, too, that one of the top articles I sent you last night was in looking at Alan, I'll start with you on this, of the effort for Hillary Clinton and the campaign to say, look, this is a safe harbor for Republicans. That if you can't, just as you said, if you can no longer stomach the GOP presidential nominee, here's what we're going to do for you.
The problem is, it doesn't, if you're talking about down ticket now, Joe, it doesn't.
Well, I'm talking about presidential. I mean, Clinton's campaign is broadening its outreach to potential Republican converts, including donors, elected officials, and business and foreign policy leaders.
Well, I was about to say, you know, there are those of us who really have some grave doubts about a Clinton presidency. Compared to a Trump presidency, it certainly, in my mind, is preferable. But we do know that much of the objection from the Bernieites and from others has been that they're centrist, that they play with the Republicans, that they always have, and that it's not going to be pretty if she gets to be president. And I think there's something to worry about, to be honest with you.
I think that's not a horrible thing. What if Clinton, as not just an election ploy to get moderate Republican votes, really did go centrist? For example, put the nominee that Barack Obama has nominated for the Supreme Court, made that her pick, should she have the opportunity. Would that be so awful to have a Supreme Court that wasn't fixated on conservative and liberal extremes and worked for a law that we all could live in? Would that be so awful? We used to have that.
That's not the only implication, though, of her courting Republicans, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about one aspect of what it might or how it might manifest itself in the Supreme Court appointment. But the thing is that I just think that there's a lot more to be concerned about. As a person who also supports Bernie,
sure.
It doesn't thrill me to see Republicans being courted into the Democratic Party.
On the other hand, if Bernie had gotten the nomination, if either he or Hillary end up in the presidency and they don't make a big switch in Congress, you're not going to get through those programs. They want free tuition. Give me a break. Changes in entitlement, it isn't going to pass the Congress we have now. I mean, we are going to have to either compromise and get some of it, or we get nothing.
Well, Rosemary, I don't know. I mean, I've seen change in countries, including this one, after the Second World War, when the working person got a break, and where changes happen. You can't give up on change as a goal. No. And I think that's why Bernie is so good. You know, to start saying now, well, we need to have compromise so that the way things have been going, where the rich keep getting richer and the 1% keep getting fatter and all the rest of it, that doesn't sound right to me.
And see, both of you are defining compromise as you give up on it. I don't see it that way. I see compromise as, okay, we can't get 100% tuition, but we can get 100% tuition for people in this income bracket. That's the first step. Just as Obamacare isn't universal health care. It's not what I wanted, but it's a first step. And that's the way America has always moved. We rarely have gone whole hog into big, giant changes of social change.
Well, if I'm Hillary and I'm going to be president, I would take a very careful look at the demographics in who supported Bernie, the younger people who did in this country, who see things changing, who did things on the gay and lesbian issues, and who are leading the way in this country. And sooner or later, and I hate to say this from where I'm sitting, sooner or later, they're going to be running things. I don't mean to say I disagree with their philosophy. I mean, I disagree with my age.
I'm not sure where that leads us. So I'm talking about the next 4 years. I'm not talking about
when
the kids
are in there.
Yes, we do have to start somewhere, and you start by working with the other side and coming up with a plan that you both can live with.
Oh, yeah. Well,
or else voting them all out of office.
Well, you know, everybody, I'm sorry if I was talking over you, Rosemary, but everybody always says that. You got to, you know, start easy and the rest. If you don't start and if you're not aggressive, especially when you take a new presidency, which could last for 8 years, and you realize why Bernie Sanders got, you know, 47% of the delegates or something like that at the convention, you better be careful. I mean, you better say, okay, this is a good time to really lay out some challenges for the country. Barbara, don't you agree?
Well, yes, absolutely I do. And the thing is, in government, one absolutely always has to compromise or negotiate. I prefer the word negotiate to compromise. Mm. But the thing is that depending on one's value system, you start at a certain place and you negotiate from there. If you start to the right, you know, or right. start in the center, then that's how you make your
all right. We have a break we have to go to, and we'll be right back. We'll continue our conversation roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back from after BBC News. Welcome back to the roundtable and our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok is here, Barbara Smith, and Rosemary Armeo. We welcome you on our program this morning. And Alan, we'll go to some letters, and then we'll go on to some other subjects as well.
Thanks, Joe. Brucey writes, Obama was criticized for his first 4 years for too little outreach to Republicans. I remember reports that he didn't socialize and do that sort of soft relationship building. I don't want Hillary to drive hard to the center, but I hope she can soften up Republican intransigence. Well, you know, as we left for the break, I was going to say there is no sign, McConnell and everybody else to the point, that the Republicans were interested in any kind of an arrangement where power was shared or where they could compromise. The whole idea was just to embarrass him and say no. And frankly, I think he's having a good time right now giving something back to them. And Michael says, is Trump trying to elect Hillary? Considering Trump has donated to the Clinton campaigns in the past, could it be with all his idiot talk, he's trying to get Clinton elected on second thought? Nah, he's not that smart. I say, nah, he is smart. Yes, he wants to be president to all those people who say he doesn't want to be president. And he's considering a backup plan, which is even worse, which is that the whole thing is rigged. And that way he undermines the entire fabric of American society. It's awful. Roy Hansen says, for 2 months, your mantra has been, this is going to be a close election. Earlier this morning, I heard you say, referring to Mr. Trump, something to the effect, if this election is a disaster for the Republicans, of course it will be. So which was it? You can't have it both ways and then say, after the election is all over, see, I told you so, and that's for...
I share some of the confusion of that letter writer, and it isn't just Alan. It's everywhere you're hearing. It's going to be really close. Hillary could lose. Look, you know, there's only a few points, although this week has been a little bit better. And then great worry about the rest of the Republicans lower down on the ticket. And that seems to me to be... In Congress, how can you think he's going to win? He has a good chance to win Trump, and yet you're worried about his effect on the rest of the ticket. That does contradict.
Well, you know, Roy, I don't like this letter, I'll be honest with you, but you know, the fact of the matter is, anybody who took this election too lightly and who still takes it too lightly is just wrong. In the beginning, Mr. Roy, I want to point out that even though we do love your letter, I want to point out that he was leading in some of the polls. Now, why would any trained political observer, when you're leading in some of the polls, especially after the convention, not say this is going to be a close election? You know, that's my answer to you, sir.
I thought that the letter said we shouldn't take the campaigns lightly.
Yeah.
Huh?
I thought that the point was that we shouldn't be... this cavalier
For 2 months, your mantra has been, this is going to be a close election. Early this morning, I heard you referring to Mr. Trump, something to the effect of, if this election is a disaster for the Republicans, of course it will be. So which is it? I think the guy's playing with me. That's what I think. Rosemary says, is exactly correct. Ensuring Clinton wins is key. Sanders had support, but Clinton won that contest. If she can win over some Republicans, do it. We may have to be happy with obtaining 60% of the goals we want in the next 4 years in order to ensure victory in November. And that's from Doug in Woodstock. Good letter. And then Fran says, glad you're talking about down ballot. However, until we get redistricting reform, that balances congressional districts, compromise and negotiation is impossible. While members of Congress are worrying about primary races in districts skewed to, I don't know what that word is, to extreme ideology. Okay, I think something changed it there. Okay, so... Bonnie, Maureen Dowd said months ago Trump was the most surprised his run for president was taken seriously. Perhaps all this time he's been trying to get out of it by what he says, but followers won't let him. Bonnie, I don't agree with that. Anybody else on that one?
I don't know.
I think it's hard to really figure out the motives of somebody who is so unbalanced. I mean,
yeah,
really hard to figure out where is he coming from.
I think you're absolutely right, Barbara. You know? I think when you try to look logically at something with someone who seems to fail to have the logic, I don't understand.
What is he thinking?
He wanted and he wants to be president. It's that simple. Now, if he sees he can't, and then he says the whole thing was rigged, would we expect anything else? But I just cannot believe you put that kind of time and effort and everything else in to run a campaign where you don't want to win.
If you're a megalomaniac, this is the most powerful position in the entire world. If you're a megalomaniac running for president, perhaps with the success of getting it, but it's like ego feeding every day. What more could feed one's ego than running for president, getting the nomination, having every news cycle be just submerged in your antics and your pronouncements? I mean, it's a dream. It's an absolute dream for somebody who has his, you know,
as evidenced by that Washington Post article the other day where the interview where they were saying that he stopped several times to watch himself admiringly on the television.
And Bill from Athens says it about 10 times in his letter, but I'll read you one line of it. Chump, that's T-C-H-U-M-P, epitomizes the psychological condition of the thin-skinned narcissistic personality disorder. And
it's becoming increasingly acceptable to call him mentally ill. I'm seeing columnists in national
papers. I said unbalanced because mentally ill is a clinical.
Yeah, they're saying that.
Well, I think temperament is how it started, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Kenny says, courting Republicans, she'd still be demonized by the right for 4 years, lose the Bernieites, and any credible Republican will crush her in 2020. Uh-oh, here we go already. William says, he launches the attack on Iran and then says, oh, I thought you said Iraq. Bill Bennett. A question, says Anthony. Good morning, panel. Here's a crazy scenario discussed with friends last night over dinner. Could it be possible that Trump will pull out of the presidential race and Paul Ryan step in? This would be after Hillary Clinton spent millions of dollars on ads aimed at Trump. Could this happen? It would make conservatives happy and pull the Republican Party together again, saving many a face.
Is that a possible legal option?
Yes, it's possible. There was an article in the I think it was the Washington Post that looked at this and said, so they would have to reconvene a convention, I believe, and have a new and it just seemed like it would be a lot of work.
We'd have to spend a week listening to Paul Ryan say, no, I don't really want the job. I got to take care of my kids. And, oh, well, I'm talking to some people. Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, the sum and substance.
Then we'll be voting.
The sum and substance of the article is they could do it, but it would be very difficult and very time consuming.
Yeah, they could do it.
It would be a disaster.
Lot of time.
I think that's why Ryan and others recognize that, horrible as he is, he's the candidate they got to stick with. So you're already hearing them say, well, that's who the voters picked. So we'll go along with
that. Yeah, and that's the point. And that's the point, Rosemary. Yeah. The fact is that there are a lot of Republican voters out there and other voters who voted for Trump.
Yep.
And if, in fact, you throw him overboard and put somebody else in there, you know, you're going to have a lot of angry people. That's not going to help their election prospects.
Did you all see the John McCain tape where they asked him yesterday about, do you feel comfortable with Donald Trump having the nuclear codes? And he humped for about 30 seconds.
McCain or Obama? I'm sorry.
McCain.
I didn't see that.
And then he was like, I trust the American people. The American people trust to do this. And then the journalist said, I didn't ask you about the American people. I'm asking, are you comfortable with this? And he did not answer the question, which it was pretty telling.
Paul Ryan.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, more letters.
Okay. Grace says, hostages. Paul Ryan wrote a letter to the president back in January complaining about the Iran payment. The Wall Street Journal needs to apologize for this obvious attempt to distract the public from Trump. This was not a news story. It was addressed by the president in a January news conference. Anybody?
Well, again, he was complaining about the payment, and the connection that from my understanding, that the Wall Street Journal made was to the payment and to the release of the hostages. So that was where it became a news story. But.
So then, Jim in Montgomery says, distinguished panel, the Republicans are understandably concerned about Trump's lack of verbal filter, but enlisting Newt Gingrich and Rudy Giuliani to lead an intervention to curb his temperamental behavior is like asking Randy Quaid to give Charlie Sheen legal advice.
Alrighty then.
That's a funny letter, but I discount that story. An intervention. I mean, who would think that going to Trump and telling him what to do would have any effect? And Rudy Giuliani and Newt Gingrich know that better than anybody. I don't think that story was well sourced. I don't really believe it.
I think we talked about this yesterday, but Newt Gingrich said that he had not been contacted.
That doesn't surprise me. I don't think it's true.
Jeff says, Rosemary is finally seeing the light about Hillary? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Maybe I am on the wrong frequency. Best regards, Jeff.
Because I said she was damaged. I mean, I have to say it because of people like him who think she's pathological and corrupt and all the other things. I think she is a remarkable woman. And even if she were running against a real opponent, I would still be voting for her.
Wall Street Journal, credible? The Wall Street Journal is owned by the News Corporation, Rupert Murdoch's company. Definitely not a credible source. Thanks, Jimbo.
The Wall Street Journal does some of the best investigative reporting in the world, bar none, despite the ownership. And they've continued to do it since Murdoch took it over, which is a marvel to some of the rest of us. The editorial page is a different story.
If I may just go to another subject for a second and say one to a customer. I got one guy who wrote four times this morning.
We riled him up.
Well, no, it's just that, you know, pick one and you can read it. No, I want one. That's it. Because we got to read these as we go. This isn't easy. And Ron says, has anyone considered the idea that the timing of the exchange of cash and hostage provided cover for the Iranians as it relates to domestic consumption and their hardliners?
Not sure what that means.
Me neither. Panel. Trump's claim that the $400 million return to Iran was a ransom payment for releasing four Americans ignores a key point. The money was delivered to an Iranian airport where the prisoners were awaiting their flight home. That meant the Iranians could have taken the money and kept the hostages without the U.S. being able to do anything about it. A real ransom exchange would have taken place on neutral territory or at a border with both sides to prevent treachery. I don't believe, you know, I don't go with that one. Anyway, Rosemary?
Well, it sounds like the writer is supporting the Democrats that had this been a real ransom, they would have done it differently. I don't think it was a ransom. I think it was a key negotiating point, and you can be upset about us giving even their own money, releasing their own money to the Iranians, because there's evidence that they would use it to support terrorism.
We're going to hold it there for a second and take a quick break. When we come back, we'll finish up this hour. We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Ballston Spa Veterinary Clinic, dedicated to serving clients and their pets of Saratoga County and beyond for over 80 years. Open 7 days a week with extended hours, BallstonSpaVet.com. McTeague and McClellan, buyers and sellers of antique and vintage fine jewelry, diamonds, sapphires, rubies, emeralds, and other rare gemstones. Gemologist consultations by appointment in New York or Great Barrington. mc2jewels.com. And the Cooperstown Summer Music Festival, presenting an instrumental tribute to Frank Sinatra on Sunday, featuring Lauren Schoenberg. CooperstownMusicFest.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. Interesting article in the New York Times regarding, we haven't talked science stories in a while. The National Institutes of Health announced Thursday that it was planning to lift its ban on funding some research that injects human stem cells into animal embryos. The NIH announced its proposal in a blog post by the Associate Director for Science Policy and in the Federal Register. The purpose is to grow human tissues or organs in animals to better understand human diseases and develop therapies to treat them. Researchers have long been putting human cells into animals, like pieces of human tumors in mice, to test drugs that might destroy the tumors. But stem cell research is fundamentally different. The stem cells are put into developing embryos when they can become any cells, like those in organs, blood, and bone. But the very idea of a human-animal mix can be chilling and will not meet with universal acceptance. In particular, when human cells injected into an animal embryo develop in part of the animal's brain, difficult questions arise. According to Paul Knopfler, a stem cell researcher at the University of California, Davis, there's no clear dividing line because we lack an understanding at what point humanization of an animal brain could lead to more human-like thought or consciousness.
That's when I had to stop reading.
It was so scary.
Yeah, it is. It is creepy, but if it helps.
Right? Well, I'm with you, Joe. Let's assume for a second that you're the president of the United States and your brother or your son or somebody like that has an incurable disease which could be resolved if this thing goes far enough. Are you going to say no because of these other ethical potentials that we're not going to do this anymore? No, you're going to say, I want it because I want him to live a little bit longer, or I want to live a little bit longer. And the demand will far outweigh the objections to this, the ethical objections to this. Don't you think?
There's the article painted the image of you have a bad kidney. You can't replace a kidney.
Right.
But you could, with this, inject cells, stem cells, into, say, a pig, and it grows a custom kidney for you that's then put into your body.
Based on your own cells?
DNA.
Your DNA,
that,
right.
Which is, I think that's pretty exciting. Here's the other thing, though, that when humans can do something, they do it. It's really hard to restrain it.
Yep.
So if the knowledge is there, you know that this is going to come out. So better that we do it in the open, regulated, talk about it, say whoa to some things, rather than just put it all underground.
Well, and to your point that there was a scientist quoted in this article in the New York Times, a Harvard professor and a director of the stem cell transplantation program at Boston Children's Hospital said that the moratorium was a little jarring because we were in the middle of something very exciting and all of a sudden we had to stop.
Right. Right.
And now.
And will they really stop?
I mean,
the Dr. Frankenstein's out there.
Well, I only have one thing to say, and that is that we eat pig, don't we? So, and we'll hear from the vegetarians.
Not all of us do.
No. Do you not eat pig?
I'm a butcher's daughter. I eat everything, but
okay,
many of my friends do not.
No, that's right, and we will hear from them.
Oh,
we're going to hear from them now. But this thing
is—I respect their choices.
Oh, that's very tolerant of you, Rosemary.
So you're saying that using or doing this to animals that are also used as food would raise animal rights issues? Or?
Well, let's just. Oh, it will. But let's just ask you this question there, Barbara, for a second. What if, what's the difference between staying alive by using meat for consumption to stay alive, offer protein, the rest of it, and growing another kidney for Rosemary's relative?
I'm not objecting to the scientific value. What the part that fascinated me was that if you insert human brain cells or into an animal's brains, would that change the animal's brain to something more?
It could start human. Talking to us.
Yeah, it will. Yeah. It will start talking. Yeah. Murray the dog already talks to me.
Okay.
So yes,
that's the part that really threw me.
So what do you want to do? Not do this because
I'm not. No, it's not up to me. And the thing is, like, I generally side with scientific advancement if given a choice. I mean, my squeamishness should not be the marker, but I do think also
we'd have to get consent from the pig to let me grow another kidney in.
Ethics go.
Jeffrey Kahn is the director of the Johns Hopkins Berman Institute of Bioethics. He says there's two looming ethical issues. One is to decide if there is a fundamental difference between adding DNA from one species into another, the technology used to produce genetically modified foods, by the way, and putting human cells into an animal. Many people can accept genetically modified organisms, but would a human animal eventually become acceptable? After all, Dr. Kahn said, in both cases, you can say it's just DNA. Where to draw the human boundary is another issue. If it is okay to put human cells into an animal, why does it seem clearly wrong to put to animal cells into a human? As more and more human cells are added to an animal, at what point is the result different from adding more and more animal cells to a human embryo?
It's a good point, to which I would say, oink.
And there's that. Okay. Final call on our program this morning, and that is the Rio Olympics begin tonight. I did not know this. I was surprised. I was trying to figure out what the time zone was for Rio. They're an hour ahead of us.
Similar.
An hour ahead. I knew it was close, but I didn't know if we were in the same time zone. But they're an hour ahead of us.
So all those problems of having to get up in the middle of the night.
That's right.
Or TiVo.
Not as
things.
Bad. No, yeah. the opening ceremonies are at 7:30 and they'll be live. So that's all very
cool.
Nice. But go ahead, Alan.
But what is interesting is that the Russians are allowed to put a third of their people into this because. Somehow the Olympic people were between a rock and a hard place. The Russians deserved to be kicked out. But on the other hand, it wouldn't be the Olympics. So there was, as Rosemary would put it, compromise.
Well, 118 were thrown out. So
it is
a third of the team. They did take a hit.
Well, they took a hit, but they didn't take a complete hit.
No,
which
they didn't.
A lot of people thought for and which their ruling committee at one point was for. Their ethical committee was for and called for, so they walked it back.
Well, I love the Olympics. I'm going to watch the American gymnastics team, which is extraordinary.
Yeah.
The swim team, which I love to watch. And I could bring up my issue here. I am not completely sure why drugs for athletes, why we try to ban it all instead of let everybody use them if they want.
Well, that's right. But you would have to let everybody use them.
All this stuff about level playing field, I get that. You shouldn't have some that are on and some are not. I get it. But why is it that all drugs have to be banned?
Because it's cheating.
Yeah, because I thought it was
supposed to be. Isn't if everybody does them.
No, but the thing is, like, once you add that kind of element, just like with the human cells into the pigs, I mean, once you add that kind of element, you are not dealing with evenness because everyone's biology and reaction to are how many or how much or how,
but why can't you work it out? What's the difference between that and remember when nutrition, suddenly athletes got nutrition, they started eating differently and the tennis players began playing like at 70 times better than they did.
They were working out but
working out and eating,
so
why not the drugs too?
Because there are some countries like Russia which have made a high art or science out of doing this, and not every competing group can do this.
Why can't you have a level playing field without the drugs?
Well, because it doesn't work. We've been trying it for how many years to get that? We have the Lance Armstrongs of the world. Athletes want to compete at a higher level, so they experiment with enhancing drugs. So why not allow it and regulate it and study it?
So it's simple. Let everybody rob a bank.
I don't see it quite the same way. No.
Yeah, I can see it Alan's way. I guess I think it seems like you're cheating.
Too.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Well, that was almost. I think we were like 30 seconds away from Rose. You had a little bit more time, but you did throw
a
bomb at the end of the show.
I like to do that.
I know you do. We love it. to Alan and Barbara and Rosemary, thank you very much. Have a beautiful weekend, and we'll see you all back here on Monday. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.